from inside the WAER studios.
Long outlet pass, Ryan Simmons inside! He scores the game winner! Give the assist to Don Mandata! Syracuse wins!
Finds Guerrier, open, drives baseline, goes up, and hammers it home! Quincy Guerrier, hello!
And it's intercepted! Andre Sisco!
Flings it from 75 feet past the scoreboard, and he connected! Elijah Hughes throws up a prayer at the buzzer, and somehow it's answered!
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
The Orange, take the Camping World Bowl.
Syracuse gets the program signature win it always needed. Perhaps the biggest upset in program history.
Taj Harris passed the 45. He's past midfield. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Syracuse.
And one, Joe Girard.
Three ball, Buddy Boeheim. He got all three of them. Huge shot from Buddy.
Pass point. Black got it. Game winner. Brendan Curry with the winner.
Hughes left wing charges and slams with the right hand.
Killing a three at the buzzer. Oh, it's good.
And here's your hosts, Owen Valentine and Ben Shulman.
Welcome into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. Owen Valentine, Ben Shulman here with a quick intro, quick outro. But the meat and potatoes of this episode is the recurrence of AJ Black, our favorite BC reporter, one of our favorite guests that we have coming on the podcast. It's his third time being here, and we are very excited to get into that. It's a bit of a different conversation because we already got the ins and outs of sort of who is BC. And quite frankly, no one really cares who BC is at this point. So we had a fun little conversation getting to the juicy stuff that you need to know for this BC game, but also just having a simple conversation and getting to catch up with AJ, which was very fun. Syracuse, it's had a nice win. It's last time out on the court with a victory over NC State, completing that sort of season sweep of the Wolfpack in what was the first game was not the prettiest, but the second game, it looked a little bit better. And the man to sort of circle, and Jim Boeheim was giving him that high praise, Ben, was Alan Griffin. I think Boeheim said it was probably the best game he played this season. Scores 22 points, 4 of 7 from three. I think he really just sort of had everything going for him. The defensive stuff looked really solid, which is where I think a lot of us have sort of seen him lacking. So to see him sort of step things up in terms of the defensive game, and he had a couple of steals in there, 3 steals and a block, I think really goes to show that this was a complete game out of Alan Griffin, and something that I think you can start to look for a little bit more in terms of the holistic game when you've seen Allen scoring all of the season. But I think that this could be the start of a nice stretch for him where he can sort of become this two-way player and really show what he can do on both sides of the court.
Syracuse needs it. If he's going to get hot, now would be exactly the right time heading into the final 7 games of the season. But yeah, Alan Griffin was outstanding. He was WAER's Pepsi player of the game for his 22-point performance. And I totally agree with you that he looked a lot more engaged on defense. The only thing that's disappointing to me is I feel like Allen has to score a lot for him to get engaged on defense. Like when he starts really getting up buckets, then his whole game is changed. So, I mean, at this point in the season, that's probably not going to be something that can be worked out. So the solution is, I think, get the ball to Allen early. And hopefully he knocks a few down. And then if he's given it 110% on the defensive side, the Syracuse zone becomes a lot tougher because Quincy's a big guy to handle on one wing. If Allen's on the other wing, it makes up for the lack of size without having Sidibe in the middle and Dolezal out there. Because Allen is a good rebounder and he is a physical guy at times. He's just not doing it all the time. But yesterday he was doing it all the time. And like you said, 3 steals, a block, 4 rebounds helped Syracuse win the rebounding battle. It was just an all-around good performance.
The toughest thing about sort of the defensive issues with him, and sometimes, as you were mentioning, just sort of it seems like he doesn't care as much in certain moments as he does in other moments. The toughest part about that is that when he's really engaged defensively, he creates so much for himself on the offensive side because he is such a strong guy in terms of getting blocks, getting steals, right place, right time at certain moments. He can create opportunities, which is what's so disappointing when you sort of see him lose interest defensively or lose the sort of spark defensively. And I think that maybe that this game can sort of bring him in and show what happens when you do play that solid game. I said it earlier, I'll say it again, got a lot of praise from Jim Boeheim. Maybe that's something that he can parlay into continued success on the defensive side of the ball. But that's going to be a big key for Syracuse moving forward. And moving forward, it is the easiest game left on the schedule for Syracuse. They're going to play Boston College once again this weekend at home. And as I said, it's a fun conversation every time we have him on. We caught up with AJ Black just a few minutes ago to get the sort of state of the program for BC, but more just to catch up. And luckily, everything's good, him and the family, and we've got a fun little conversation for you. We now welcome on a recurring guest of the podcast. I believe this is his third visit with the Ostrom Avenue crew, and my roommate across the hall, Max Chadwick, who thinks he's a big part of the Ostrom Avenue pod, is going to be very disappointed to know that his reign atop our guest appearances at three has now been tied by AJ Black of the BC Bulletin and Locked On BC. AJ, thank you so much for coming back.
Thanks for having me on, man. I feel special. I'm royalty now on your podcast.
We hope this is going to be, you know, the future relationship. We know, obviously, with your Locked On connections to Tyler and Tim, that you're going to love going over there. But we hope that you stay here with your Central New York connections in the Ostrom pod. We checked in briefly before we hit the record button. Just everything good. Everything's all right. Your son's doing good.
Oh, everything's going well over at the Black household. You guys are over at Syracuse, so you know about snow. We've got like 2.5 feet of snow in the last week. I live in the snow belt of Boston, by Worcester. And I feel like I've been shoveling for the last week. At least my arms are feeling stronger, getting some good, getting exercise out of this.
Yes. The exercise I don't get in the gym, I get in shoveling the driveway. So in terms of, BC athletics, BC basketball, it's been, quite a disappointing year in terms of coverage. I'm sure it's always tough to watch a team lose game in and game out and maintain the ability to try and write interesting stories. But is there any good storylines with this team right now? Obviously, I mean, the COVID chaos, who is playing, who isn't, what's going on with the state of the team?
So there's a lot going on. Okay, so let me just jump in with positives. So the only really big positive right now for BC is CJ Felder. You know, a forward, he's played really well. He had a double-double last game against Wake Forest, his first in his career, had 17 points and 14 rebounds. You know, last year, as I think I mentioned on your show, he was 17 years old, one of the youngest players in the ACC, looked it on the court, just, you know, he was struggling as a freshman, a young freshman. He's grown more and more confident on both sides of the court. I've loved the way he's grown into this offense. And you know, where BC goes next year, if it's Jim Christian or someone else, I think CJ Felder is going to become a special player and one you can build the program around. So he's been a big positive. That's probably one of the only ones they have. On top of that, yeah, as you mentioned, COVID's just been a mess. Like, you know, first of all, say what you will about Jim Christian, and if you check out BC Bulletin right now, and I kind of talked about his end because it's coming. And but I have to say, and I've been arguing with fans about it, you know, the Wake Forest game, the NC State game, the last two games are not his fault. They have been playing, you know, they play with six scholarship players against Wake Forest, and they play with six scholarship players against NC State. Everyone else is out. And two of those six players are the end of the bench guys, like guys that you do not like. Kamari Williams is starting. I want you to watch him. This kid has legs the size of a toothpick. I don't look at like physiques of basketball players, but I just can't stop watching him. He's tiny, and he's starting for BC because they don't have anyone else. Now, will they get players back? You know, I don't know what's going on with Winston Tabbs. You know, he's got the knee issue on top of that, and he was slowing down before the entire COVID stuff happened. So I don't know if they've shut him down. You know, Jim Christian hasn't really talked about that, but they have no bench. They've had four bench points in the last two games combined. So they're just struggling there. That, you know, Jim Christian's playing with the deck that he has. And I, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of his coaching style and what he brings to this program, but he's trying, and that's all you can ask.
Christian was a big topic of our last episode that we had concerning BC basketball. How surprised are you that he is still the head coach of the Boston College Eagles?
Since the last time we talked, not surprised, because I just know Boston College is not a school that'll fire a coach in the middle of the year, especially with COVID. It just, I also, this is another article I wrote, was that he's going to make it to March. You know, he should, because of anything. Well, when I wrote the article, they had no COVID cases, but now it's a complete disaster. I just don't think they're going to, like, in the midst of COVID, you don't want to, like, you know, change leadership and lose players, because then, you know, if they lose him, then, you know, players might put their guards down, get themselves in unsafe situations, and that all could happen. I think BC is just the kind of school where they're just like, we're going to make it to March, we're going to end the season, and then we'll make our move. So it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it was more of a surprise that he made it past last year. You know, as I said before, like, BC was bad last year and they ended on a complete whimper. And I was surprised. And once we got to see more that, you know, athletic departments weren't going to take such a financial hit from COVID, and it's showing more and more now that they're not. I thought, just like Wake Forest did with Danny Manning, I thought they were going to make a move. But 2 days afterwards, I get a call from BC Athletics that we're not making a move because of COVID. And so that's where it's at. But everything I've heard, and I have some sources, it sounds like the decision's already been made. And a lot of the bickering you've seen, I mean, if you read some of the comments Christian made when they were going to have to play with four scholarship players, he basically made it sound like he was being thrown under the bus by the athletic. He held back no punches. And it sounds like it's pretty contentious right now. So I think the writing's on the wall, you know?
Yeah. I remember you saying it that first time around that things, they didn't start the season good naturally when you look at the, his tenure there, and they have not improved. But I'm going to give you the chance to talk about one more, maybe positive regarding this team, and someone who I think we talked about a little bit the first time that we squared off this season, but Jay Heath in the last four games has really looked great. And he was a guy that didn't do too much the first time Syracuse and BC squared off. So what have you sort of seen out of Heath that's allowing him to go off for apparently consistent 20-point games now?
I'm not the biggest Heath fan, and I'll tell you why. Like, I think he's a good player. His decision-making at times, though, worries me. And you look at his shooting percentage. Sure, he scored 20 points, but he shot 22 shots and only hit 8 of them. So it's a lot of volume shots for him. And he's like, you know, he's the ball handler. He's the guy that takes those shots. He's kind of like, without Winston Tabbs out there, there is no other real scorer. So he's got to be the guy that does it. Now that being said, I don't want to be critical of Jay Heath, because I do think he has the potential to be good, because he has those moments where you're like, man, he looks good out there. He's shooting the ball well. And he's hitting some threes. I want to see more consistency out of him. Like, he's just not a consistent offensive player. And he has those moments where things just completely fall apart for him, where it's turnovers or bad fouls, things like that. But, you know, he's only a sophomore. He's going to grow into it. Again, I think when we have another coach, I think he's the type of player, you know, I think BC has one of the foundations you can build this program around. Jay Heath, CJ Felder, DeMar Langford, and Tabs, if he's healthy, you have that core that you can build it upon, and then not have a team that has to start from square one in 2021.
So the first time these two teams played, that really sums it up. That sound. Syracuse hit a program record single game threes. Do you think that it's maybe a positive for BC that is not at all how Syracuse has ended up shooting this season, and that wasn't really representative of the entire Orange in 2020-21? Or do you think that Syracuse could put another smackdown on BC?
Before I jumped on this podcast today, I was writing up a preview of the game, and I just was thinking about how poorly BC closed out on defense. And just, you know, I was looking at like the forwards on Syracuse were hitting threes, and I know you have the guards with Gerard and Buddy Boeheim, and so you have the possibility of shooting threes. I see BC's defense, they're ranked near the bottom in almost any statistical category you can find. And I just do not see them stopping a team like Syracuse. Even if you've been playing poorly, this is the type of defense that allows a team to figure out what their issues are and get themselves back on the right foot. Just because, and especially with the COVID issues, you don't have the depth to cover these teams, and if you get a guy in foul trouble, this game's over because you're now putting in, you know, walk-ons to fill in those roles. I just don't see BC, I see another game like the previous game. And I think the depth issue with Boston College, even if they're, you know, they have the guys, I can't see them stopping Syracuse.
Now, obviously you're not necessarily watching every Syracuse game, but in your experience viewing Syracuse basketball this season, what is sort of your perception of the team as a whole? Because I know Ben and I, we don't actually know really what to say about this team at times, because they sort of just have a mind of their own and they do what they want game in and game out. What's sort of the perspective that you've gathered regarding this team?
It's just, I feel like when I've watched any ACC team this year, I just think inconsistency. Like, no matter who it is, I just, you know, there's no team that like stands out this year. You get teams that kind of go on runs, then they'll struggle. And I mean, even like Duke is, you know, completely fallen off the rails this year. But Syracuse, I feel like, has that same issue. You know, you see them playing well in games, you know, they beat NC State twice, and then they lose the good, you know, and they beat Virginia Tech, but then they lose to Virginia, they lose to Clemson. And I just, you know, it's just like everything else in this league right now. It seems just inconsistency. And I feel like that's the issue with Syracuse. I just also find that every ACC team finds their groove when they play Boston College.
Well, I hope for your sake that that's not true, because there's only six games left and the Eagles have but a single conference win. Do you think any more conference wins are coming? They do play Miami again in the finale of the season, the one team that the Eagles beat this year.
Yeah, I don't know. My bigger hope for Boston College at this point, and I said it on my podcast earlier this week, is that I don't know where the ACC is with making up games. I just hope that they don't make BC just end the season for this team. Just end it. Like, mercy, please. Like, the team is playing with, you know, six guys. They're struggling up and down the court. You know, the games are miserable to watch. I mean, they shot 32% from the field, I think, against Wake Forest on Wednesday, and like 22% from 3-point range. They just can't get any offense going. I don't know. Like, I feel like if they play Miami again, it's just going to be like every other year. Like, you know, last year, BC played really well. They beat Notre Dame in December. And then what happens? They play them again and they lose. And then they get smoked in the ACC tournament by Notre Dame. So I don't ever think of a team that they beat as a team that they could easily do it again. And, you know, you're looking at their schedule and I just go, I don't see it. I feel like the season's just going to end. I'm looking forward to talking about next year already.
One more question, AJ. I know you've been talking about it on Twitter a little bit, in the podcast a little bit. If we ever find ourselves near Boston College or in Boston in general, where is the spot to go for pizza? Because I know you've been defending a couple of spots. One of them, I believe, was a nostalgic spot, and then a new spot as well.
Oh yeah. So you saw my Prestos versus Pinos. So unfortunately, showing my age a little bit here, and obviously if I'm talking, I got a kid here, I'm obviously showing my age there too. But Prestos was a place when I was at Boston College that had the best slices. I mean, they were fantastic. I get like two slices and a soda when I was there as an RA over the summer. You know, a lot of the dining halls were closed, and during lunch I was like, I gotta get fine food. That would be the place to go. Now Pino's is where everyone raves. They have the best Sicilian slice, I think, in the area. And they're good too. For me though, I went to Presto's because I didn't want to walk the extra 30 feet to get to Pino's, which is like three buildings over. I was just that lazy. but Pino's is really, really good too. And I don't want to like knock them because I think they have really good slices. So if you're in the area, I would recommend Pino's Pizza. Hopefully they make it through the pandemic and they're there when we get back, but that's the place to go.
All right. One last question. What are you looking forward to doing most the second this BC basketball season ends?
Oh, let me tell you, right? So, you know, when I first started doing writing, you know, you pay attention to what people like. And I can tell you, when I write about basketball, it's like crickets. No, it's not even worth me writing about it. Cause like it used to be like, I'd write about football. I'd write about basketball. Basketball would have the same hits as football. It's not the same anymore. I am so looking forward to, and I don't want to wish this on anyone, but like if Christian moved, it sounds like Christian's going to get canned at the end of the year. Looking at other options, looking at the candidates that they could bring in, hopefully talking about a practice facility for Boston College, because that's what's going to bring a coach here. They need it. And it's been rumored. You saw John Rothstein talking about it. I haven't heard specific dates yet, but that is huge, because if BC can get that, they can get the facilities they need to attract a big coach. And I think that's what they want. Now, I'll throw my name out here and you guys can, and you know, when we talk football in the fall, you can either tell me I was completely wrong or, hey, AJ talked about that first. The name I am watching for coach for Boston College for next year, my name is Howard Eisley. He's the assistant coach for Michigan, played at BC. He's a hot young coach that, you know, on a team that's playing really well. Basically fits the mold Jeff Hafley did for football, you know, a young up and comer who's on a successful program. He knows BC. That's my guy. That's my prediction for the coach of BC in next year is going to be Howard Eisley. He'll return to Boston College and bring back the program. So,
all right. I got it in my notes. I'm sure Ben will bring it back up come football season. If you're right or wrong, either way, it would be quite the prediction pick out of you if that does come to fruition, though, and a very good look for everything you're doing. So, AJ, thank you so much for coming on. Once again, you are our most recurring guest at this point in the history of the podcast. So thank you for all of your visits as well.
I got a feeling, thank you guys. I have a feeling I'm going to lose that, though, because we won't be seeing each other again probably until the fall when football returns. So. We'll talk again soon.
I'm sure. You guys can follow AJ Black at AJ_BC on Twitter for all of his Boston College coverage. This season's coming to a close, so you can start to listen to the true fun stuff once that happens. AJ, once again, thank you so much, man.
Thank you guys for having me on. Take care.
Same to you. One last thank you to AJ Black. You got a little bit of everything in there, some BC basketball, life after BC basketball, a little pizza recommendation if you find yourself on the road heading over towards BC. Whatever works for you, you can get your fill from that AJ Black interview. But Syracuse Boston College on Saturday, obviously that first matchup was one of Syracuse's best offensive performances, not only this season, but probably in the history of their ACC performances, breaking the century mark and shooting, I think, 59% from the field, over 50% from three. Everything was working. And I don't think you can imagine everything will work to that caliber again, but I do think you can imagine that Syracuse should be winning this game relatively comfortably.
Yeah, Syracuse has to win this game relatively comfortably. I mean, the Orange are in the next four out. In the most recent bracketology from Joe Lunardi, they won't show up there again if they don't beat Boston College. And really, the Orange beat Boston College pretty handily. There are a lot bigger games on the schedule that SU needs to spend its energy on. You know, if I'm in Jim Boeheim's office sitting in his chair, I want this game to be over with 8 to 10 minutes left and send out guys like Woody and Braswell and give the regular starters a rest. Because Wednesday you're going to Louisville, and that's a game that Syracuse probably needs to win. So BC at this point, you know, don't overlook them, because you can't overlook anyone in the ACC. Instead, pound them really hard for the first 30 minutes, and then hopefully everyone gets a rest.
Yeah, you look at the schedule, you've got three sort of must wins left in terms of BC, Notre Dame, and Georgia Tech, and then three sort of we need to win two of these in terms of Louisville, Duke, and North Carolina. I think you got to go 5-1 to close this season out. And if you drop two in this end of season stretch, you got to do a lot of work in the ACC tournament. But that's why we play the game. Syracuse, Boston College at the Dome. Yeah, they played on the road earlier this season back at the Dome for this one. And it is a 2 p.m. start. Our coverage over at WAER will start at 1:30 with countdown to tip off. And as always, it'll take you 4 hours after tip until 6 p.m. with the double overtime. A lot of coverage then. You can keep it locked at our Twitter, at Ostrom Avenue Pod, for all of our thoughts throughout the game, our pregame predictions. I had a perfect 3-0 day the other day and really reestablished myself atop of our prediction poll. And I believe I'm at 20-10 on the season, which is a pretty good clip to be firing at. And I will say I got a little nervous. I had a couple of bad stretches. Ben picked up a few points on me, but I have regained the dominance that Ben took over in our debate podcast last night. So we're both winning in our own clip. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, follow along with us at Ostrom Avenue Pod over on Twitter. Subscribe to us and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, give us a YouTube subscription. We are up on YouTube. This will be the second episode that we've got up there. So you can start watching us, getting a little bit more engaged. You can be commenting on that so that we can reply with you right in that sort of chain over on YouTube. So a lot of new ways to catch our content, and we hope that you you try to take advantage of those, because it'll be a lot of fun to be able to up the engagement and start having more conversations with the listeners and now the viewers. So for Ben Shulman, I'm Owen Valentine. This has been the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Stay safe.